Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, fellow Patriots. Greetings, welcome, salutations, and 5 o'clock follies. Alohas to you. So we get underway with the most heavily commuted and most heavily congested hour of the Bobby Mack Show as we start to get back to some semblance of normalcy here. And as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here is how you join me and be a part of the conversation this afternoon. Just grab the phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. And my email address, bob@1063word.com. So we had night number 8 of the anger games yesterday, including now, apparently, people who feel as if they are so emboldened by the lack of police response in cities where they have deep blue mayors and governors. There was a string, 10 of them, I believe, of robberies of ATM machines in Philly last night. They would pull up, drop somebody off. They would plant explosives on the front of the ATM machines, step back and set them off, and then take the money, and somebody else would come by and pick them up. One of these individuals managed to foul up the process and blew himself up in the process. Jeez. As a result, the Attorney General Bill Barr announcing today that investigations of recent violence spinning out of protest yielded evidence that not only are various extremist groups take advantage of the unrest for their own nefarious ends, but that foreign actors are also getting involved. I don't know if you've seen some of the social media stuff from places like Iran and China, Russia. After expressing deep sympathies over the death of George Floyd, Barr said at a press briefing that three different sets of actors are involved in the demonstrations, namely peaceful protesters, looters, and extremist agitators that hijack protests to try and advance various agendas. Barr said there is evidence those extremists include Antifa and other groups of different political persuasions, as well as foreign actors playing all sides to exacerbate the violence. FBI Director Christopher, yes, I'm with the deep state, Ray, elaborated on this, saying these individuals have set out to sow discord and upheaval. See, once again, you can't fool the FBI. Those guys in the Hoover building, boy, they... Jeez. Patricia McCarthy wrote a piece about this today at the American Thinker. The death by cop of George Floyd in Minneapolis was grotesque. A clearer example of police brutality has otherwise rarely been filmed for all to see. Even so, as has been reported, Floyd did not die of asphyxiation or strangulation as it appeared. His death was without a doubt caused by that officer's cruel and unnecessary action and the inaction of his fellow officers who stood by and watched and let it happen. That officer now has been charged with second-degree murder. Other officers have now been charged as well. Judicial due process will ensue, both state and federal. In the meantime, The people of Minneapolis have turned out to protest, and that is understandable. What is not comprehensible is the destructive actions of so many. Is it really the citizens of Minneapolis who have set the city on fire, burning down small businesses as well as the police precinct building and libraries? Who are these masked men in black with Secret Service quality earpieces, military-grade gas masks, and backpacks full of Molotov cocktails? They are very likely professional rioters recruited, transported, and paid for by the likes of some George Soros front group or other anonymous Cloward Piven devotees who share Soros's hatred of America and want to see the nation brought to its knees. Panic over the virus was waning. These orchestrated riots across the country are the next ploy. Somebody is organizing this madness. Someone is supplying the most lethal rioters with all the accoutrements of conflagration and moving them into place to all the affected cities. That all costs a great deal of money. Antifa owns its funding to Soros, as do the more violent branches of BLM. These players seem strangely secure that they will not be arrested, or that if they are, they'll be quickly released. These upheavals seem to occur only in Democrat-run cities. Ferguson, Baltimore, New York, L.A. It's easy to see why, after seeing the mayor of Minneapolis call back the police and the National Guard, who are giving the vandals free rein to destroy his city. His concern was that they be masked so as not to spread the virus. The leadership of Baltimore did the same in 2015. Let them have their space, said then-Mayor Stephanie Rawlings. The riots in Ferguson in 2014, exacerbated by President Obama and Eric Holder, who, as was their habit, immediately blamed the police, which had the effect of giving permission to angry citizens to act out in the most destructive ways possible. Rioters in that city also burned the businesses owned and operated by their neighbors. They burned the markets they regularly went to. The rent-a-mobs get the action going, and the suddenly mindless residents join in to destroy their own community. What's happening all over America these past several nights is not about George Floyd. The rioters are using his death to embark on rampages to loot small and large businesses alike. These aren't protests. What we're seeing is mass thievery under color of protest. Chances are, if the looters in L.A. were asked who was George Floyd, they wouldn't have a clue, nor would they care. Democrat-run cities have long valued social justice, that is, of course, different standards for different groups, and identity politics over lawlessness and basic values. This is what you get when deviancy has been defined down so egregiously that we have citizens behaving like animals. The looting in L.A., all filmed from above, continues unabated and without police presence. Businesses that have been shuttered for 2.5 months are now completely destroyed. Their merchandise looted. Where's the mayor? He's making sure nobody walks on dry sand. No matter how much the media love to fan the flames, indicting America as a racist nation and blaming Trump for every single thing they can, these riots have nothing to do with race beyond it being a convenient excuse for criminal behavior. Those rioting, setting things on fire, smashing store windows, looting businesses, are black, white, and Hispanic. They are a conglomeration of races, but all are thugs without a shred of decency. Maybe the people pulling the strings of these rioters think this level of anarchy will be blamed on the president, but it is more likely it will ensure his reelection. These things do not happen in Republican-run cities. They happen in cities whose leaders are actually racist, but fear being labeled as such, so they step back and reveal their own bigotry of low expectations. It's tragic for their cities and for their citizens, from whom they instinctively expect criminal behavior. George Soros is most likely funding much of the chaos and is delighted by what he sees. Now we're all seeing the consequences of the tyranny of political correctness, that emperor's decree that common sense has been outlawed and nihilism is the order of the day. Patricia McCarthy, writing at The American Thinker. 5:15 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Take a quick break here. Tuesday is primary day here in South Carolina. One of those who wants your vote is going to be joining me next here on the Bobby Mack Show on Thursday.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Great to have you along. 5:22 here on the Bobby Mack Show. With the primaries coming up on Tuesday of next week, we're doing our level best to be able to expose to you, give you an opportunity to hear from candidates in various offices across the upstate. And we continue that effort today. And we're joined by Mark Lynch, who is a candidate, a GOP candidate for a state senate. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Bobby. How are you?
I'm surviving against overwhelming odds, I guess is the best way to put it, Mark, considering the present environment we find ourselves in. You are new to politics, at least in terms of being a candidate, correct?
Yes, sir. This is the first time.
What prompted you to make the decision now? Because you've been a successful businessman. What was the tipping point for you that said I've got to get in the ring myself?
Well, I guess I've been an activist out here, involved in lots of different things, and during some of the work that I do in other areas that helps this country stay afloat. Mm-hmm. I had some presentations and working with a lot of the House reps and some police and sheriffs in town and doing some things and speaking to them. And because of that presentation, I met a lot of great people. And some of those families approached my wife and I a couple of months later and said, Mark, you should consider running for state Senate seat. And I was just in awe and honored and floored that they think I could do something like this. They said, you would be perfect for it because we need a businessman that holds to his values with common sense strategies, that knows how to operate successful things, and you would be great. And I told them, I said, I don't see anything like that ever happening. And I prayed and prayed, and they kept asking. And after careful prayer, God said, Mark, I want you to get me in that state house. So I was willing to take on this challenge and do it.
How has the campaigning surprised you, Mark, from what you may have assumed it would be like going in?
Well, my consultant and family and friends that have been in politics before warned me and told me what this was about, and mm-hmm. all the work and the money and the door knocking. And it's been a great adventure, actually. And now the COVID thing, you know, stopped us from knocking on doors. So right. that was kind of a, but everybody's on the same playing field when that happened. But our campaign has had a huge momentum when people meet me and see what I'm about and they know my past. And if we bring up Jeff Lynch Appliance Center and they've had a good experience, which, you know, we've been around 68 years, so we've mm-hmm. got a good name in the market. And people immediately say, well, you have my vote because we love y'all and I know what you're about from your life of all these years. So, and that's the reason people ask me to run. So this, the campaign is just on fire right now. It's going awesome. And like I was telling some people the other day at a meeting I spoke out, Scott Talley's my biggest campaign supporter because the things he's doing and the things he's saying, people see through it and they know who I am and what I stand for. And the Republican platform is all about God and family and country. I had never read that till the Republican chairman, Nate Loop, in our market brought right. that to me and said, you have to read this and tell me you agree with everything in it. And I do. Mm-hmm. And it's about life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness and God and country and all the things I just mentioned and the security of our great nation and holding to the conservative values that our founding fathers built this country from biblical principles. And that's what I'm about. And, you know, one of the biggest issues has been abortion. And right. I was down at the Heartbeat Bill rally trying to help that with all the people there speaking at the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And I ran into an organization called Christians for Personhood. And they sent me the voting record of our senators. And our current senator, Scott Talley, had a 25% score on his scorecard out of a possible 100. So one vote out of four, he voted correctly, which got us out of Medicaid funding for abortion and Planned Parenthood. But the other votes have put our taxpayers into bondage with Satan, basically. I don't know if you knew this, but your taxes, Bobby, and mine are paying for abortions and yep. for Planned Parenthood funding.
Yeah, they are.
So that's not pro-life like my opponent claims he is. I'm 100% pro-life. I'll never vote for that. Never.
You
I'm 100% pro-life.
And we're talking with Mark Lynch, who was a GOP candidate for state senate. You've been around on the fringes of politics, Mark, long enough to know, recognize, and as an activist going down to Columbia, you recognize what a snake pit that place can be. Knowing that, you know, we see things like the pressure that was generated on the gas tax bill, the biggest tax increase in South Carolina state history.
Yes.
You prepared to go to war with some of these rhinos down there?
Yeah. You know, I don't need the money. I have a business here that's successful. I'm personally debt-free, and our company's debt-free. And I'm not going there to win friends and be in a good old boy club and grease each other's palms. I'm there to represent the citizens of our state. I don't want to have a career in politics. I'm not a politician. Most people that know me say you're right. What you are is a statesman. So I'm gonna stand for what's true. And that's what I do in my personal life and in my business. And I'm not afraid to bring up things that might upset people, mm-hmm. you know. And I've had a lot of blowback on some other things that's going on. And there's a lot of lies going around. But when I say something, I speak from facts, just like I'm holding the scorecard of our senators, how they voted.
Right.
I speak from facts. And I heard y'all yesterday, you and Dave Swartz from Freedom Action Network, talking
right.
about Scott's backpedaling now, and he's saying he's never said that he wouldn't vote for gas tax. And, you know, we've all heard him back then when he was running against Lee Bright.
Right.
That's the biggest thing that the voters are upset about, because that's what he did say. And then when he got into office, he changed, and it got us into the highest tax ever. So the money's been in the budget. Curtis Loftus spoke the other night when I spoke at the Tea Party meeting, and
right,
we always have a billion or so dollars sitting around, and they're looking for ways to spend it. So we sure didn't need to add another tax to our citizens.
Yeah,
we're not any better off than when we left England, are we?
Yeah, it's sad, but you know, even Governor Haley, the first time the gas tax was proposed, said, "Well, we got plenty of money in the budget. We don't need a gas tax." And then, of course, you know, her handlers got to her and said, no, you're sending the wrong message here, Governor. And, of course, she changed her tune. Well, Mark, yeah. We wish you well. That is a seat,
sir,
that Lee Bright held for a pretty good period of time until, of course, he got money bombed in the last campaign. And so we wish you well on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm running into that, too. I know there's a lot of people putting money up, and, you know, I'm doing a lot of this on my own, and I've had some contributions, and we're going to trust the Lord and get God down there at the Senate.
Gotcha.
I want to thank Scott again for helping me and all of our great supporters that are voting for me.
People who want to learn more about you and your campaign, what's your website, Mark?
Our website is lynchforsenate.com.
Simple enough.
And if you want to, yeah, and if you want to give me a call, my number is 447-6020. I'd love to talk to you.
Super. Mark, thanks a lot for your time today, and as I said, best of luck to you on Tuesday.
Bobby, thank you for what you're doing, too, in this fight. You're great, and I appreciate it. I want to get alongside you when I get elected and make a difference. We can help each other. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Mark Lynch, he is running for State Senate seat on the GOP side of the ballot, previously the seat held by Lee Bright. Election, of course, GOP primary election on Tuesday. Whatever you do, vote. I don't care if you vote absentee, you go to your polling place, but please vote. We don't get enough of a turnout in these primaries, and that's the way that we replace people who do not vote the way you want them to. 5:31 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back on the other side. Sounds like Zeppelin. 5:39, Bobby Mac Show. ATF is on the way coming up. First of all, time for another entry into the Darwin Awards nominees book. I mentioned this in passing earlier. This is from U.S. News and World Report. It was all over the TV stations up there in Philly. One man was killed as explosions punctuated the overnight hours in the city of brotherly love, Philly, as thieves blew up and stole ATMs across the city in what authorities believe was a coordinated effort. This all happened Monday night. At least 10 machines were vandalized, mainly at neighborhood convenience stores and gas stations. The thieves mainly blew up the machines before making off with the cash. In some cases, they stole entire machines. Wasn't clear who was behind the ATM thefts. Well, I think we can eliminate the Daughters of the American Revolution. I doubt it was them. They came as police have been trying to cope with large demonstrations against police brutality and widespread vandalism and theft from businesses in a number of areas of the city. Police said a 24-year-old man died several hours after attempting to break into an ATM with explosives in North Philadelphia early Tuesday morning. Police said live explosives were recovered. His name wasn't immediately released. Also in North Philly, an ATM was snatched from a mini-mart, and the windows of a gas station were smashed before thieves drove off with the ATM. No arrests were immediately announced. Good work. Police commissioner. You know the name of the police commissioner is in Philly? Danielle Outlaw. Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw said the thefts are believed to be organized and coordinated efforts. Can't fool her and the ATF. Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives is taking the lead in the investigation. So I'm sure the left will complain that the feds are involved there as well. That's probably what we'll hear next. All right, here we go. 5:41, 19 before 6. Time for me to bring in Gary Goodvoice.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Bob McLean presents Amazing, Amazing, True Facts.
Yes, indeedy, and as always, joined for ATF by the Bobettes, Miss Moneypenny in the studio.
Howdy.
And Little Annie in the news center.
Good googly moogly.
Right.
Hi, Bob.
We begin south of the border, down Mexico way. A senator in Mexico accidentally went topless in a government meeting.
No. Oh, no.
Just dropped in. She started changing, not realizing she was still logged into a Zoom chat.
Oh, no. Wow.
Martha Lucia Mitcher has now issued an apology for her mistake, blaming it on her lack of tech knowledge. Well, as you might would imagine, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that happens in 21st century America and Mexico. Screenshots of the topless senator soon began to circulate on social media, prompting mirth and cruel comments about her appearance and physique online.
Oh, no.
Ms. Mitcher is also the president of the State Commission of Gender Equality. Responded to these criticisms in her letter, in which she said she is not ashamed of her body. She wrote, "I am Malu Mitcher, and I'm not ashamed to have shown part of my intimacy by accident, because it is exactly the notion that a woman is just her body that has allowed and fomented the objectification of women against which I have always fought."
Free the tatas.
So, you know.
Oh, that poor thing.
There's a bit of irony involved there as well. I would imagine she's going to go to work on increasing her tech knowledge, going forward. Meantime, we are all here. We, all of us, be dog owners.
Yes.
Miss Moneypenny has, how many dogs do you have? You have two dogs, Moneypenny?
I have two.
Have two, and they are Lido.
No, Ludo and Ludo. Didymus.
Ludo and Bitimus.
Didymus.
Didymus.
Sir Didymus and Ludo.
Gotcha.
Right.
And little Annie has the shepherd.
Yep, Ulfred, which means wolf of peace in some Scandinavian language.
Yeah,
and
sure.
And Blue.
Right. Blue is the little guy.
The little one.
There you go. Well, 77% of dog owners say walking their dog has been the highlight of their day during the quarantine.
Oh, yeah. That's so sad.
we thought we would get the other side. Just for balance, 75% of dogs say, "What? Another walk? This is the fourth one today. Give me a break here, will you?"
Yeah.
Just to make sure all sides are heard from. Between a pandemic, of course, and civil unrest, this is certainly stunning news. There's been a surge in gun sales.
Say it isn't so, Bobby.
Surprise.
Say it isn't.
Yeah. Surprise.
Who could have possibly forecast this? Including Little, no, you haven't added to your arsenal, have you, little Annie?
I have not yet.
Yeah.
I'm looking.
But Miss Moneypenny,
yep.
Be warned, forewarned is forearmed, and she is armed.
Yes, I am.
Got, what'd you get?
A nine? A Smith & Wesson M&P 9mm.
Gotcha. 9mm. Mm-hmm. Nationwide.
It's so pretty.
Yeah, it is. Nationwide, there were 80% more guns sold this May than last May.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, I got mine in May, so hey, count me in.
See, you're part of the statistical knowledge of today's edition of ATF.
Don't you have that model, Bobby?
I've got a Smith, but I've got the 380.
That's version. The one I wrote down. Got it.
Yeah. Yep. The 380.
Yep.
Butcher, you gotta love entrepreneurs in America. Butcher in Rochester, New York, is now using a refrigerated vending machine to sell his cuts of meat.
That's awesome.
Says it's so popular, he has to restock it multiple times a day.
Wow.
He keeps it open 24 hours for people who want to buy some no-contact meat at off hours. You know, there you are, 2 in the morning, and, you know, you just, you got to have a flank steak, you know? So here he is telling us about it.
The meat machine for people who are going to come out this weekend and look for some great cuts of meat to be able to grill out in this awesome weather. There's a couple of buttons right here that will rotate the machine. There is beef, there is pork, there is chicken in here currently. There will even be some prepared foods here more and more as we go.
Everything should be super safe, secure for you to be able to come in and purchase your meat.
Yeah, now watch the blowback from the vegans out there. What? We don't have any arugula vending machines?
The meat machine.
The meat machine.
Yeah. Wow.
Great idea.
Yeah.
So there you go. There is today's edition of ATF, brought to you by a group that didn't want you to forget about them.
Today's show is brought to you by Murder Hornets.
Yeah, don't forget about us.
I guess the media did.
Coming soon.
Dun, dun, dun.
We don't get any coverage anymore. We don't like it. There you go. There's ATF for today. 5:48 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back. Boom. Welcome back. 5:53 now, 6:07 here in the Bobby Mac Show. In on the text line 71307. Bobby, I heard Lindsey Graham say Tim Scott has been pulled over in D.C. about 10 times. Is it racial, or is Senator Scott just not a very good driver? Just wondering. Bobby, I understand there have already been threats of violence by protesters in Boiling Springs. Certainly hope not. Bob, I don't believe that Greenville is out of the woods yet on the protest front, given the close proximity to Asheville, home to many lefties. Where's the rest of this? I can't find the road. But you get the drift. Bobby, I sure wish Mark Lynch was in my district. Bobby Mac, Mark Lynch goes to my church, plus I've seen him several times at the Rhino Hunt meetings. I believe he's very sincere and a good Christian man. I wish he was in my district and I could vote for him instead of lying Ross Turner. Gotcha. Bob, I'm listening to your show now and listening to Mark Winch about his campaign, but I don't see him as an option on my Tuesday elections. If you're looking at your sample ballot, that would be because you are in a different district, because state Senate is divided up by districts. Bobby, take a look at the Blue Lives Matter page and check out all the police murdered by senseless thugs. Hey, Bobby, let's speculate for a minute. What would happen if George Soros were to unexpectedly die from unnatural causes? Here's a question. How come this guy can, with impunity, what, just because he's richer than Croesus, can fund all of these, air quotes here, nonprofit organizations that are actively engaged in efforts to destroy America and overturn our duly elected government? How come this guy's allowed to get away with this stuff? Bobby, I'm afraid attacks on the infrastructure and mass casualty events could be next. Well, look, if we're going to see attacks on the infrastructure, let's hope that Antifa goes after the roads, because whatever they do would probably be an improvement. And don't forget, less than a month now, your gas price goes up again by 2 cents a gallon, and will for the next couple of years. By the way, this is the level that it has gotten to now. A former high-level Obama administration intelligence official has guaranteed the $250,000 bail for two New York City lawyers who were trying to throw Molotov cocktails into an unoccupied NYPD police cruiser early Saturday. Two lawyers in New York are out there trying to throw Molotov cocktails into police cars. But not to worry, you know, you get bailed out. There's more on bail in New York that'll really infuriate you as well. That's coming up. One more to go. Bonus hour is next.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.